Now, I want to take some examples from Paul and elsewhere about this fraternal correction, which we are called to do not every Sunday, but frequently. Call people to righteousness. The first text I want to read is from Colossians 3:1, of chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Notice how he starts. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Do you know you're raised with Christ? You've been lifted up. You already have the beginning of your eternal life. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look up. Yearn for heaven. That doesn't mean you neglect your duties here or other people. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He's referring to baptism. You died. You're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, Paul says in another text. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's the way he begins. Do you know who you are? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you know what life is in you? Then he starts. Put to death, therefore, because you've been made a new creature, Jesus Christ lives in you, you have divine life in you, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, is the way this is translation goes. It's not bad. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Greed is idolatry, because you've made idolatry is to worship something as an ultimate reality, as an ultimate good. How many people, especially in our American culture, are idolaters, even if they're going to church? Their ultimate concern is money. And so, it's idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. Now, the wrath of God is not that he's mad. He's never angry. The wrath of God is the intensity of his love, which is so great that we who are in darkness and attached to darkness feel it as repulsed, as being repulsed. The love of God is not repulsing us. It's our inability to stand in that light and that power and that beauty because we're attached to sin. That's the wrath. It's not God's mad. But that's very important. Evil to greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming, which I just mentioned. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Do you notice how he doesn't say, stop it because it's naughty? Stop it because it's wrong? He says, stop it because it's so much less than God has made you. That's why. God has plans for you to bring you into the very depth of his own Trinitarian life forever. Now, if you continue, this huge love directed toward you will start to feel like wrath because it's repulsing. You experience it as a repulsion when it's really an invitation. Now you must rid yourselves of such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Why? Because a lie is bad? Yeah. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator. I think it's very important when, you know, we have the preparing people for baptism or for reception into the church, that we tell them of their dignity and what God is offering and the love with which he's offering it. Now, if we don't want it, that's when we experience it as wrath. What God is offering is love. But it's a love that requires response. And if we don't want to respond, then we experience it as repulsion. But it's not. All right. Another text now. This is from Ephesians 5. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. See why? Oh, because you're going to go to hell. First, it's not who you are. You see? Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. When somebody really gets it, when it dawns on them, the love the Father has for them, the plans he has for them, you see? Then there's thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person, the greedy person, is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You see, he's not up there mad, coming down one day to punish you. When he comes with this fire of love, you will experience it as rejection because it's so powerful and you have made yourself so foreign and unlike it. Now that's why we preach repentance. Repentance, as Basilia Schlink once wrote in a book, the title of the book is Repentance, the Joy-Filled Life. And it's true. Those who find out, realize their sin and go to God and find forgiveness, you see, are living a joy-filled life. They acknowledge their sin. Okay. Therefore, do not be partners with the people upon whom the wrath is coming. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. See how Paul is always appealing to dignity? He's not saying, that's wrong, you're going to go to hell. That's against the moral law, that's against reason, or blah, blah, blah. No, he's saying, think of who you are. And that's why before I started this, I spent all that time on Dostoevsky and the Grand Inquisitor, because there we are deprived of our dignity. The only thing we want is comfort in this world and not think about the next. And that is such a enormous step down from our dignity, you see. For once you were darkness, but now you are light. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's from Ephesians 5. So you see, I'm trying to show us how Paul addresses this question of sin. And the almsgiving of preaching, which calls people from sin by calling them to their dignity and promising the love of God. Now, I'm going to read another one. This one is 1 Corinthians. They were quite a crowd. Corinth, you see, is on an isthmus between two bodies of water. And there was a canal joining the two. And the boats were pulled by horses, or sailed if they were small enough, from one port to another. So it was a double port town. And there was a lot of, as there's any port town, with all the drifting and anonymity and so forth. Okay. But that's Corinth. But Colossians first. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Do you know you're raised with Christ? That's not a metaphor. You have divine life now. You didn't have it before. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Now, he doesn't mean you walk around with your head looking up into the sky. It means what's going on in the depth of your being are the important things. Love for God, love for neighbor, justice, righteousness, care for others, especially the poor. See, those are the things that are above. Put to death. And he means it. Put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now, that's a tough translation. That's Colossians. I have it open. I'm going to look, because that's not what it... Earthly nature. Well, what other kind of nature can we have? You know? And stop lying to one another. I'm trying to find that phrase. But your earthly nature, no, the sarx is probably the word he's using here, because that's what it is, you see. You know what? It's over here. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And you will appear with him when he appears in glory. And then he goes on, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is not that God's mad and he's just dying to punish us. The wrath of God is this overwhelming, powerful love. And we're unequal to it. We can't take it because we've never yielded to him and we're in sin. And if we're in sin, we can't stand it. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Do you see the way he preaches about morality? He doesn't say it's wrong, it's terrible. He says, look what happened to you. You were changed. And put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his Creator. And that's the way he talks there in Colossians. Now, there's another... Now I'm going to go and talk about Corinthians for a moment, trying to give you an example of Paul's preaching about sin, putting sin in its right context, you know. Whereas, as both the... Well, Pius the 12th, Benedict the 16th, and John Paul the 2nd, all said, the greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin. Because it means it's a lack of a sense of gratitude, of love, of enthusiasm. Now this is Corinthians. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's the point. You see? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's his, in that part. Now, I want to mention just before we close, you have to speak about homosexuality. You simply have to, but you do it this way. Now, before you do, it's good to study it. There's a book by Leon Payne called The Broken Image, and it's a wonderful book. And John Harvey has a book, The Homosexual Person. I will do with this, I will make out a bibliographical list and give it to you as I've been, you know, planning to do, getting these other lists out to you of books. That's all we have time for now. We'll pick this up next time.